your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, The Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got another wonderful show in store for you with an amazing guest, a young gentleman I met a while ago I thought you'd really like. Did you catch last week's show? Oh, last week's show with... was an amazing show with a woman who's been on a spiritual path for a long, long time, and I just totally thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. And if you haven't listened to it, please do. All right, so let's start off as we have been lately with my blog from a couple of years ago, and just going through these in order, and. This one is an interesting one. It's entitled, Communication Can Be Challenging Unless We Are Truly Present. We all communicate differently. Some communicate with words. Others communicate with action. Yet it is all open to interpretation. We feel that when we say one thing, that is what the other person wants to hear. Yet often the other person hears something completely different. Sometimes our silence communicates so much more than our words. And the story we make from the silence can be far different than what we intended. This is why clear communication is so important. Ultimately, we truly don't know what the other person heard, or how they will interpret what they heard. We certainly do not know what story or meaning they will create from what we said. So how do we communicate clearly when there are so many things that interfere with our communication? With effort, acknowledgement, and reflecting back what we heard. The most important factor in clear communication is our presence. When we are truly present to the conversation we are having, we can feel what is being communicated. When two people are truly present to a conversation, the words almost don't matter. They will know what the other person is feeling and what they are trying to convey. Presence is our greatest asset when it comes to communication. Not just being present to the other person, but being present to the story we are making from what we are hearing. When we are self-aware enough to see our own internal meaning-making program in action, we can step back and refrain from creating a story around it until we are certain we understand what is truly going on. This takes time, and it takes practice. Yet the rewards will be immeasurable if we stay with it. Communication can be challenging. The antidote is almost always presence. So how can you be more present to the conversations, especially the challenging ones, in your life? So this blog post I wrote, I can imagine, like, I don't 100% remember exactly, but because of the conversations I've had with my wife over the years and how I tend to be quiet sometimes when she says something, and then I see the kind of meaning she makes from me being quiet in the conversation, I realize that being quiet isn't always the right way to go. And so we've had many, many talks about communication and how we communicate and being present to the conversation. So this blog post truly is an outgrowth of all those conversations I've had with my wife where there was some misunderstanding. Maybe there was some misinterpretation. Maybe we heard the same thing, but we heard it differently. And so I learned that no matter how close you are to somebody, how long you've been together, I mean, me and my wife have been married 21 years, there is always improvement that we can make with our communication. Because communication is so deeply tied to presence, and we can always learn to be more present, especially in today's world where there is so much pulling us out of presence. I mean, I don't know if you heard it on the audio or not, but, you know, just even from starting this show, fire trucks, ambulances, I was hearing the sirens because now it's getting kind of warm here in New York City. So I have the windows open and it's really noisy outside. Even that alone can take you out of presence. And compound on top of that, our phones, which are constantly buzzing for our attention, this expectation that we're always available all the time. There's just so much vying for our attention, and there's so much designed to pull us out of presence so we pay attention to what they want us to pay attention to, that it really is a battle to just stay present in our day-to-day life and in our day-to-day communications. I find it so interesting, and I don't know if you've ever had this experience. When my wife and I go out to eat in a restaurant in New York, and we sit down, and we're waiting to order, and you look around, and if it's a family eating together, you can see like the parents sitting there talking to each other, looking at each other, and the kids are on their phone. I've even seen, you know, young couples eating a meal together and neither one is talking to each other and they're both on their phones texting somebody. I always used to think, oh, they're texting somebody else. How come they're not talking to each other? But then somebody told me, no, that they actually do that with their girlfriend because they don't want people to overhear their conversation in the restaurant. So I'm like, oh, okay, they're actually texting to each other. That's an improvement. But I mean, they're right there in front of you. No one's paying attention. You can talk to each other. You know, communication has changed a lot since I was young. And I just feel like there are so many challenges today with communication. But what I've seen from my own conversations with my wife, which is like the closest person to you is the biggest reflection of where you are, that ultimately what always improves communication with each other is presence. When I can be truly present with her, and she's truly present with me, and being mindful of the meaning and the stories we make so that we can really hear the other person, like that is worth gold. Or as they say, all the tea in China. Because presence truly is such a rare commodity these days and getting more rare and more precious. So that's my blog post entitled Communication Can Be Challenging Unless We Are Truly Present. I would love to hear your thoughts on it. And of course, you can always find my blog at talkradio.nyc/blog or on my personal branded website, theconsciousconsultant.com. Hope you enjoyed it. And next week, we'll have another one. All right. So now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to my show, energy health practitioner and trauma recovery facilitator, Occam Wood. Occam is dedicated to helping survivors of sexual, physical, drug, and alcohol abuse. He specializes in identifying, neutralizing, removing, and transmuting unresolved traumas and reprogram the subconscious and limiting belief systems that contribute to substance abuse, disease, discomfort, and depression in the emotional, mental, and physical body. He is a devout student of metaphysics, science of mind, and new thought, continually expanding his knowledge and expertise in these areas. At 42 years old, Occam has been on the path of sobriety and enlightenment for 20 years. He has been free from methamphetamines for 22 years, cigarettes for 17 years, liquor for 12 years, beer for 8 years, and marijuana for over a year now. Occam and his partner of 17 years are also blessed to be the shepherds of a child on the autism spectrum, adding a deeply personal aspect to his understanding of healing and support. Through his journey of overcoming adversity, abuse, and addiction, Occam lives a life of compassion, gratitude, and unconditional love. He has developed a unique process called Trauma Transmutation and Soul Integration, TTSI, drawing on over two decades of wisdom and intuition. Occam now uses the system to support heart-centered change makers and professionals on their path to transform, guiding them to release energetic baggage and achieve balance, health, and abundance. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Occam.
Thanks for having me, Sal. I'm super excited to be here.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Glad for you to be here. We just got a couple of minutes before our first break, but I'd love just to start with touching upon kind of how you got on this path. Now obviously you've had some challenges, some pretty strong challenges in the path. But what, I guess, kind of turned it around for you? What was the point at which you said, enough with these challenges, I got to find a way out?
Mm. Yeah, there's really two points, right? Because obviously, like you said, having had the childhood of sexual and physical abuse, that led to the drug and alcohol abuse, right? And it was really on that rooftop at 19 when I was about to commit suicide, and I was trying to figure out who to blame, right? Whose fault was it that I was here? And in that moment, I had this realization, this moment of clarity, you might say, that said, the only person that was in all those situations, all those circumstances was me. I was the only common denominator. And so at that moment, I realized that these were experiences and that it was the story I was telling myself out of those experiences that was really the key. Now, that started my 20-year journey, like I said, and then most recently having my son with the autism, that led me through to ayahuasca. Ayahuasca showed me the core, right? All these things that I'd been releasing over the years, starting with the meth, which is obviously the most easiest and the least socially acceptable, but then moving into all the rest of the ways that those addictions manifest, right? All the different substances, behaviors and stuff. And so the ayahuasca really showed me to get back to the base level, which is ultimately the energetic level. And so by contrasting what was happening in the subtle energies to what was happening in the physical reality and utilizing the energy to manipulate and transmutate some of those past stories into power stories. So I literally decided to become a product of my past instead of a victim to it. And that's really the main catalyst.
So when you were on that rooftop considering killing yourself, was there like a voice in the back of your head? Was there something that kind of either pulled you out of that or put you into more presence?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not sure if it was the voice of God per se, but there was definitely like some form of divine intervention. Mm-hmm. And I've had this experience multiple times in my life where that voice, and maybe it's from some future me on some alternative timeline, that said like, this is a moment that could change everything. And being in that moment and being present, like you're talking about, to receive that message and say that I could choose and that it can change. And so I would say there was a voice. What the voice was, I'm still not 100% sure of, but it was definitely the moment of clarity and what I believe to be divine intervention.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, we're going to take our first break. I do see loyal listener Patty checking in from Pennsylvania. Patty, thank you so much for checking in, no matter where you are traveling these days in your RV. Thank you for always tuning in. I really appreciate it. And when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about give people a little bit fuller picture of your background and sort of what were the challenges like once you sort of started on that path. As we all know, it's like that path moving forward is not an easy road, and it doesn't mean there are no bumps along the way. So I'd like to be able to give our audience paint a little bit of a more detailed picture before we get into sort of what you're doing today. Okay.
Sure. Sure.
Awesome. Awesome. So everybody, please stay tuned. You are listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over our social media on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Twitch. And we will be right back with our guest, Occam Wood, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
So, Occam, welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I'm wondering if you can, you gave us a little bit of your background of the physical abuse, sexual abuse you suffered as a child, but I'm wondering if you can paint a little bit deeper picture of how you ended up on that rooftop considering suicide and then, you know, kind of what happened afterwards once you made the decision not to kill yourself and to where things went from there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm totally open about it. I totally believe that vulnerability is a superpower and it's contagious. So if my story helps someone else tell their story or share their needs, then it's the beneficial. Right. And I really do have to preface, like, I didn't have the worst childhood, right? A lot of my clients have a lot worse experiences than I had. But there was the sexual molestation that was unchecked. It was actually unknown about it. I was molested by a male cousin from the time I was 7 to the time I was 11. And that actually didn't come out until I was 14. And at that point, it had basically manifested in a life-threatening illness. Like, basically, I was dying. And so my mom took me to some natural healers. And two of them were Reiki practitioners, and they were doing the energy work on me, and they were telling me about how it's basically using the energy of the universe to connect with person and manipulate and utilize their training to help manipulate the energy field to enhance health and vitality. And even at that point, I remember sharing with them that at the age of 7, I had put my hands on a cat. And said, like, I don't believe in God necessarily, but whatever Jesus did, whatever the sun makes the sunshine and the grass grow, let me put that into this cat and help it with its pain. And so when I told them that story, they're like, oh my gosh, he's a natural. We need to train him. And this was the early 90s. Like, it was like $1,500 to get trained, and you had to go to Hawaii or Japan. And my mom was like, well, we can't afford that, you know? And she's like, no, you don't understand. We have to train him. So they trained me through up to my level 2. And I was using that quite a bit on friends and family. And then I went to high school, right? Mm-hmm. And being a sensitive teen was definitely not productive. And I had been fairly isolated up until that point. And so I wanted to make friends. Started with the cigarettes, then to the marijuana and the alcohol, and then that led to meth, you know. So there's this whole progression out of this faux awakening or this pre-awakening to the truth of the universe that maybe was a little too early or maybe it was just on time, you know, it's hard to say. But basically I turned from that and went really into the dark ages. And there were some other things that happened there that really led me to momentarily believe that by being a bad guy, by being a jerk, I could get ahead, right? Because I was obviously being taken advantage of by all these different people. And so if I was going to be a nice guy, it was going to suck. And so I decided I made the conscious effort to, I'm going to be a little bit more of a hard ass, you know? Mm. And that just got way out of hand. And so over the next 4 years, I mean, it was really dark. There was one moment where I actually almost committed murder. Someone had stolen some money from my mom and the guys I was hanging out with. I was just really impressionable. And it didn't take long. I was a only child, only boy with 8 sisters and my mom, right? I was raised only
8 sisters?
Yeah, 8 of them. Only 5 at any one time, but I already had this dominant protective energy, right? And so it took very little effort for that to be weaponized and turn into something that was very dark. Mm-hmm. And so long story short, at the end of the night or the early morning, actually, I was given the gun and told, like, all right, we need to put this guy in his grave and head home. And this was another time where I believe, like, an alternative timeline reached back to me, probably my future self, tatted up in a prison cell, maybe even on the deathbed, you know, maybe on the execution chair, reached back to me and said, if you pull this trigger, there's no coming back, you know?
Mm.
So in that moment, I chose life. I chose to not murder, and I chose to deal with the consequences. And that led to prison. And then that, not full prison. I actually pled guilty, so I wouldn't go to prison. Ended up in juvie. Did a bunch of jail time and probation and stuff. And that's just like crime school. Like, honestly, we've got to do something about our criminal institutions, because it was just easier and easier for me. I met more and more people who were leading me in the other direction. Right. And so that was a progressive experience, going from 16 and almost going to prison up until that 19 year old who was about to commit suicide. So it was a really intense 3 and 4 years. And within that, it was, like I said, it was this
so
really,
I just want to highlight something about what you're saying. Your story is like, there were a lot of environmental issues that were all kind of leading you in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Not to take away any of your own agency and not to say that you don't have choice, but especially at that age, we are impressionable, and our environment does mean a lot. And like, you know, if you're a poor kid in the ghetto, you know, you can easily get pushed to the life of crime. Whereas if you live in a wealthy neighborhood and you're surrounded by all these people that are wealthy and well-educated, that's going to put you in another path or direction. And so it is hard to sort of swim against that current.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes a lot of spirit, you know. Yeah. It takes a lot of that connection to something higher than what you've been given, and an understanding that what one man can do, another man can do, you know. And so understanding that was really helpful to me, knowing. And then, like I said, in that moment, I was being a victim. I was being the result of my circumstances, right? And so in that moment, what was really happening on a deeper level was I was choosing to be the cause. I was choosing to understand that it was my choices and not the story that had led me to where I was, and that I could become a product of my past instead of a victim to it. And so there is that awareness and that choice. And it didn't happen overnight. Like, it still took me a couple of like maybe a month and a half to get off meth. Then moved to Oregon, jumped on a commercial fishing boat for 2 years as I sobered up and kind of came back to society. These two or three really powerful men, the captains that I was fishing with in this other family. So there's the Evanaughs, the Cunninghams, and the Petersons. And these three men basically showed me what unconditional love was. They showed me what powerful, true masculinity could be, how you could support someone and still, you know, paddle the butt when you needed to, but like encouraging through that and not just punishing. And so it was purely through the grace of other people seeing me and holding me up to a higher standard and letting me know that that was available that really helped me pull out of that. And, I do want to go back real quick, 'cause I don't think I mentioned this, but, my mom found the money the next day. Just so that guy I almost murdered because he stole money from my mom, that was actually a misunderstanding.
Oh,
and so I would have, if I had followed through with it, I would have murdered an innocent person due to my perspective.
Right.
And my experience, you know, so that's a huge lesson for me in choice. You know, that has come back as one of the biggest messages for me as far as choice goes, and that choice to join society, that choice to come back, that choice to not let my story be the one, be the determining factor for what I was going to do in this world and how I was going to behave, was probably one of the biggest factors, those two moments in time.
Was your family supportive of you, like going on the fishing boat, getting out of that environment and turning your life around?
Yeah. Luckily it was just me and my mom at that point and my little sister. And my mom was the one who invited me to Oregon. And that was actually to deal with my stepdad, who was molesting my little sister. And so we actually did both. We both ended up in jail because I was still a teenager. I handled that the way I'm an angry teenager. And so we both ended up in jail, me for assault and him for abuse. And so she was paramount in giving me some place to be. And my mom's always been the type of person that's like, you can't do that in my house. But when you choose that you don't want to do that, like go have your life experience. And when you choose that you don't want to do that anymore, and you want to come back to like the core, like my arms will be open and there will be no, I told you so.
Wow.
And that is probably one of the most important things that I can tell any parent, especially if they're dealing with a child who's in their own throes of their dark night, is that you can only go so far and there's a limit to how much you can enable them. Just naturally, you have to cut them off at some point, right? Right. But to do it in a way that they know when they make the choice that they're not going to hear, and I told you so, it gives them a safeness. Right. Come back to, you know, and I think that was a really key factor. If my mom had been like, no, you can't come back because, you know, whatever, whatever. And I actually left my 2-year-old son with his mother and a stepdad, like to get away from the meth. Like when I left Colorado, I left everybody. I didn't take a number with me, except for my baby mama, but I didn't take a single number. I didn't take a single connection with me because I had to absolutely recreate my entire environment to clear myself and clean myself from that dark energy.
And how long would you say that took you to clear yourself from that moment that you made that choice?
Well, I mean, the choice to live came really quickly. And then once I got to Oregon and got off the meth and got away from the environment that I'd cultivated around me, it was really quite fast, actually. Like the time out on the ocean was a lot of introspection and a lot of retrospection. And like I said, just seeing these men who they didn't see me for my story. They didn't know my story. I wasn't sharing my story at that time, you know, but they saw me as my potential. And having someone who can see you in your potential can open up doorways that you never knew were there.
Right. And then just quickly, we just got a minute or two before break. What got you back on this path of doing healing work?
Yeah. So that was another 10 years later, actually. So I went through 10 years without the energy work, going through like AA and NA and different support groups and whatnot. And I did get some success. Like I said, I went from one substance to another, to another, to another, you know, and even into the porn and the sex addiction and everything else. And luckily my wife helped me with that at 25 because I fell in love with her and she was the first person I actually told I loved. So having that support was also incredibly helpful. At 25, that's when I quit smoking cigarettes. And it wasn't until my son stopped talking, and my life was falling apart around me. I was growing cannabis, here in Southern Oregon and we had lost all our money because I'm a excellent farmer. I am a terrible drug dealer. I'm a terrible dealer. I grow great big vegetables and cannabis. But at that time, everything was collapsing. And then my son stopped talking. And it was really the catalyst of me getting on my knees and kind of asking the universe, like, clearly I've made some sort of misdirection here. What can I change? What can I do to bring about the life that I need and the life that I'm supposed to live? And then that ultimately led to the ayahuasca. And then that's like the whole, you know, the second chapter, I would say, started there, really.
All right, cool.
Third phase, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. I sometimes say I've lived about 6-7 lifetimes in this one life. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And so when we come back, let's talk a little bit about that ayahuasca experience because, you know, my guest last week, what put her in her spiritual path was she did LSD in the 60s and 70s, and that opened her up. She started meditating.
Your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with the moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, the moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And brought her to a very deep connection to spirit. So I would like to kind of touch upon how that experience with plant medicine sort of opened you up and reconnected you to that part. And then sort of what happened in terms of how you developed your healing modality and what you do. Okay.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And we'll be right back with our guest, Occam Wood, in just a moment.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. So Occam, once you had that experience on the fishing boat, working with these men who were not in the toxic masculine, but really encouraging and supportive, how did you get back to the healing work? How did you get back onto this path? Like, first of all, how did you end up going to do ayahuasca when your problem had been drug addiction for so long? And then how did that experience open you up and change you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so one of the first things that happened right after that fishing, those years fishing, was that I got invited to Burning Man. So I don't know if you're familiar with Burning Man or if you've ever been. You may have heard of the tuna guys. These are the commercial fishermen that come from Oregon, and we bring tuna, right? And so my sister literally was like, hey, you want to go fishing with this guy? This is Jim Peterson, rest his soul. He went down with his ship. He needs some help getting his tuna. And so like, I'm just like, yeah, I'd love to do tuna. So went and did tuna, and I'm asking him like, how much are we going to get for this tuna per pound? And he says, no, we're giving this away to dirty hippies in the middle of the desert. And I says, tell me more. And so ultimately I was the captain. I caught the fish that year. And so there was a great deal of pride in that. And that's where the name Occam came from, actually. As soon as I Burning Man, I picked up the playa name Occam, and it was for Occam's razor. The simplest solution is most often the correct. And it kind of stuck with me after that. But what I saw there, coupled with those men that I was talking about, showed me this new edge of reality, this new aspect of society and community and caring and friendship. And the fact that there were all these people who come together in the middle of the desert to make a city out of nothing, where you can't spend money, it's a gifting economy. Like, all of it just totally blew my mind. And there were definitely high amounts of psilocybin and acid at that event also. And over the 3 years, it really went from like me getting like totally trashed the whole week to having more of a spiritual experience, then ultimately going through a rebirthing ceremony with two random people in the middle of the desert, because that's just how things happen. And and all of a sudden everything started to shift for me. And so it was the next several years where I thought I'd found my path. I thought I was going to be this off-grid type of individual living, you know, cannabis rich. And everything was collapsing. My relationship with my wife was suffering. My child stopped talking. My partner almost committed suicide. And I was just on my knees to the universe, really asking, like, what am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing here? And super long story short, of a friend who I'd been working with in the industry shows up one night and says, hey, I need your help. And I thought she just needed help, like, doing a deal, right? Because I'm a big, strong man. She's a little lady. And I was a gun packing hillbilly at that time, pistol packing, you know, had it on my hip at all times. Wow. And she tells me, no, put the gun away. Put the gun away. We don't need the gun. But if you have any crystals, that would be good. And I'm like, oh, what? You know, and she's like, yeah, I'm in the middle of, like, all I can say is I'm in the middle of some spiritual warfare and I can't talk to you about it, but you are supposed to protect me while I do it. And I'm like, okay. Because my mom was pretty open. She was pretty open into the Native American stuff, into the New Age stuff and crystal stuff. And I had plenty of friends who were into Wicca and those kinds of like alternative, natural, you know, occultish type traditions. And so I was down for it. I just said, okay. And we ended up at the beach in the middle of the night doing a ceremony, which I can't talk about in the public. But after the fact, I asked her, you know, why did you choose me? And she said, well, I went to ayahuasca to see what I could do about this situation I'm in. And it said that it showed me this ceremony and it showed me exactly that you were the only person who could protect me so that I could do it. And we'd never talked about this stuff before.
Wow. So
like, why on earth would ayahuasca tell you that? And what is ayahuasca? You know, and for those of you that don't know, it's like a jungle mix, two plants. Which one you can eat all you want of either of them and have no effect. But when you mix them together in a very particular way, it causes a psychotropic experience that's very different from LSD and psilocybin, as far as it is not something you do for fun.
No, definitely not.
An intense situation, intense experience, and it's a DMT experience. So it pulls back the layers of reality. And in that moment, as my body was thralling, and again, super short story, super long story short, the first night I drank 12 times and did not have a visual experience.
12 times. Jeez.
12 times. Dang. I spent a whole night in the banyo with a bucket. I called it purgatory because I was purging. And I was like, when's it going to break through? And the next day I asked the guy, I was like, what's going on? Because everybody's telling me about the snake went in and out of my body and ate my tumors. And I saw the face of my unborn child. And I saw the business that I'm supposed to create. And I was like, all I did was puked. Like, and crapped a lot. Luckily the guy was like, well, and I think I even skipped this part, right? When I asked her, what is this ayahuasca? She's telling me about the ayahuasca. And I say, well, why? Like, I should check that out. And she says, well, I'm glad you said that, because the ayahuasca said to pay you, I was supposed to bring you to the medicine.
So when I say ayahuasca found me, it literally reached out and brought me in. And it just happened to be that the next pour was on my 33rd birthday. So that first night I drank, and he told me he'd never served anybody that much and still had them be able to walk, let alone like offering to stoke the fire and clean up messes. And he offered me to stay a second night. So he paid for my birthday for the second night. And then that night after Sweat Lodge, which is where I coughed up this huge entity, it was the first time I'd ever even said entity. Like I'd never talked about them, but in that experience, when I drank that second night, very small amount, very once. And I was completely disconnected from my body, experiencing the ego death and in the thralls of that. And the ayahuasquero came over and settled me down and told me to focus on my prayer. I focused on my prayer. I said, what is my path? Show me the path. Show me the symbols. Show me the tricks. Show me the things that I need to see that will take me to the next level. And out of the nowhere, this voice comes and says, you think you're going to see your future in a cup of tea? And I opened my eyes. Like I literally thought someone was sitting next to me, but there was no one there. Everything's in slow motion. Candles barely flickering. I closed my eyes again. I say, yeah, I thought that's what this was. And she says, I can show you anything, but when you walk out the door, you choose to go left and right. All there is options and opportunities, but you're making choices, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, what do I do then? And she says, well, if you quit clouding your vision, you will know how to walk the path. And I said, what path? And she said, the healer's path. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know it, and you've been ignoring it, and it's time to go back to it. So again, 8 hours later, waking up and being like, okay, so I'm going to stop smoking pot today. And I'm going to get back on my healer's path. And then I literally experienced nightly experiences. I ended up dealing with a big entity that was haunting the house we were in. And my son like picked up some language after I dealt with that particular spirit. It was really interesting. And like I said, this is all way foreign to me, but like every night she was showing me something new. She was showing me what I call dream school. She was showing me the seven layers of the etheric body. She was showing me how life, past lives are all linked. You know, one of my first dreams was I was a woman running through this field with two children, and I got shot through the back, and I saw the bullets come out of my body. And right there, I had three fatty tumors from the time I was 16, right where I saw those bullets come out. So that's crazy. Anybody who knows about past life stuff, there's like a whole nother story there.
Yeah.
But then this Nazi comes over and shoots me in the face, right? And then the very next night, I'm a Nazi shooting people on execution squad. The next night, I'm a Native American getting my head crushed in by a boot heel of a soldier. And then the next night, I'm a soldier burning a village. So she showed me all these past life experiences. She showed me the entities that live with these substances and that feed off of these substances and that ultimately feed off our thoughts. So she was showing me how thought forms and belief systems and constructs become entities and parasites, right? And I had no language for any of this, but luckily I had a really beautiful, I found a beautiful teacher who reattuned me to my Reiki 2. Wow. And in that course, I was like, okay, so when do we get to the entities? And she's like, oh, we don't do entities in Reiki. And I was like, well, then this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing because I'm supposed to be dealing with like entities. And she says, well, check out this course. And she also taught this Barbara Ann Brennan, Hands of Light. And if you're familiar with that book, it reads like a college textbook for the supernatural, and not all supernatural, but really like the energetic templates of the physical body. So then I'm seeing all these words and phrases and templates that are helping me understand what I saw. And then that really sparked me into doing more Reiki. And ultimately that lasted for about 2 years. And then my son's autism got so bad, and I was working so hard doing Reiki on myself and others, and also doing my handyman business, that my wife was really suffering. And so I had to step back from healing others and really focus on the core of the family for several years. And then it wasn't until the pandemic hit that I was called again to step out and start doing long distance sessions. And that's when the TTSI was born. That's when the first time I did a long distance session, everything changed. And it was no longer the 21 hand positions over 3 minute intervals. You know, it was everything. It kind of came to a crescendo at that moment. And luckily the woman I worked with was a practitioner for 20 years, and she'd been to shaman all over the world. And so she was actually able to help me kind of decode exactly what was happening and what was going on and how unique it was compared to what other people were doing and how it was much closer to shamanism. And she even said it was the closest thing that she'd had to an ayahuasca experience and a rebirthing experience outside of that plant medicine. Mm. And so that's all led to what I do now.
Cool. I feel bad because we've spent so much time talking about your path. We don't have that much time left to talk about what you do, but we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about the TTSI. How does it help people? What is it good for? How do you do it? And then, you know, you give out your contact information and we'll have to wrap up the show. So we'll be very time efficient. Okay.
Sounds good.
Awesome. So everyone stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back with Occam Wood and wrap this all up in just a moment.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back. Okay, Occam. So, amazing journey and story. You kind of, in a way, intuitively, energetically, created this system you call trauma transmutation and soul integration. What is your experience of this? And when you've used this to help people, what sort of changes have you seen?
Yeah, the changes are so broad. It's really amazing. It's why it's hard to pick a niche, so to speak. But the basics of it is the understanding that our physical body is built by our spirit body condensing down universal life force energy into three-dimensional matter so that we can have a vehicle to experience life in, right? Mm-hmm. And it does that. It goes through the ego field. And that ego field is where everything that we think and believe is living, right? And that's what informs us of who we are. So if you've had a lifetime of, like you said, right, you're talking about how if you're raised around money and stability and structure and safety, then you're going to automatically embody these beliefs that everything's safe and that money's easy and that you can trust people. And then as that energy goes through that particular filter, then you're informed of who you are, and then you project that out into reality and you resonate a particular frequency that then brings more experiences like that to you. Now, if you were raised on the other end of the spectrum where things weren't safe, where you weren't 100% secure and you had scarcity, whether that be food or money scarcity or possibly alcohol or drugs in the family, then you will be left with belief systems of worthlessness and fear and shame, potentially even. And that's what informs us of who we are on a subconscious level. And that's what we project out. And if you've ever had that person that you may know, that woman or man who is constantly getting into the same relationship, right? It doesn't matter what it looks like in the beginning. 3 weeks later, it's the same narcissistic, abusive situation. And it usually reflects something to do with the relationship that they have with the parents, right? That's because these filters live in the energy field. So what we do, what I do in the energy field, is to connect to your soul team and your spirit team so that we can identify what filters are causing your current experience, right? So people can come to me for all kinds of different needs. Some of them originally, especially in the beginning, it was a lot of addiction, suicidal ideation, depression, anxiety, physical pain, right? And so because, and I'll touch on that real quick, because that energy that's pumping into the body, it should be this pure, balanced, universal life force, right? It's neutral. It's good and bad, light and dark. It's birth and decay. But depending on what filter you have is going to allow what's going to allow in. And so also those filters distort the energy that would be getting to your DNA and allow DNA to build with this pure light and this pure sense. And that can lead to disease, disharmony, and dysfunction in the physical body, right? And I could go on and on about the science of DNA and particles of light exchanging, photons of light exchanging information, but that would take a whole nother. But what happens is that the people come to me because they're struggling, they're stuck, they may be stuck in a cycle. They may see that there's a particular trigger that comes up, especially in relationship or even business, that they constantly react in a way that they don't want to. Right. This is where we get into the difference between reacting and responding. And you had mentioned it even in your chat or your blog, the fact that someone can say something, but what we hear is different, right? Because it goes through these filters, and we may not be hearing our wife's voice asking us a very logical and understandable question. We hear it come through in the voice of our sisters or our mother, in that very nitpicking and demeaning and activating way. And then we respond, right? Or we react. We don't think about it. We just automatically react. And I believe responsibility, I'm not the one who said this, I heard it somewhere, but responsibility is the ability to respond. Right. And so when you understand that you're automatically acting, thinking, and living in a particular way, then you can start to get curious about why you do that. Why do you react this way? Why is this same cycle keep showing up? Why is your body betraying you, even though the doctors can't find a cause? That's usually what leads people to me, is the curiosity around trying to fix something, right? And maybe they've done the talk therapy, or maybe they've even done the NLP and the hypnotherapy, and they've had some improvement. Maybe they've tried drugs for the depression or for the pain, but nothing seems to work. That's when I find people coming to me, is they've tried everything else on the physical, the mental, the regular avenues, and they're ready to see if something else can work. And so as I tap in with them and their soul team, the angels, ancestors, elementals, and Akashic keepers, we can actually decipher what's true, right? So I act as a tuning fork almost. I am allowed to receive that information free from the objective filter so that I can see it in that. And I pride myself on a neutrality, lack of judgment. So when I see the thing, I don't hear the story. I don't feel the results.
Right. Right. You're outside of it, so there's no emotional attachment either.
Right. So then I can bring them to that moment and help them understand what the energetic charge is on it. And then by balancing the brain and charging the physical body with light and accessing the chakras and aligning all these things, we can really get a good map of what the original wound was, what the pathway and how it's created the life that they're in right now. And then ultimately either neutralize the energy from the emotions, right? Because you'll have like, okay, this thing happened when you were 12. What's the emotion there? We can deplete the emotion away so they can see it for the truth of what it is and not the story they've been telling, right? So that's the real key of it, is this reprogramming of thought from something that held you down into something that builds you up. And that's why I call it soul integration, because your soul came here for a reason, right? Like, I truly believe this, that we are eternal beings who choose to log into this video game because we want the experience of the hot and cold, the pain and the pleasure, the light and the dark, right? And we forget that, unfortunately, and then we just run on autopilot. But as we get into the autopilot and we find out what kind of programs have been installed and adopted and indoctrinated, then we can actually change the parameters. We can change the programming, and we can start to change the way that people leave from that. So they have more confidence, they have more clarity, and they have a release of the energy that was holding them back. And they can invite in that part of their soul that has the answers, right? That has the solutions, that has the actual path.
So two quick questions. How long does a session usually last?
The way I like to run it is a TTSI combo. So it's a deep dive 4-hour session, right? And that's deep. It's intense, but it's like trauma triage. It's finding the bullet, removing the bullet, and then patching it up, as opposed to just continuing to change the dressing. Right. So it's 4 hours, the body charging, brain balancing, chakra alignment. And during that time, as the energy's coming in, it's really illuminating some of those creepy crawlies that are hiding in the basement, you know, and then we can kind of evict them and actually do an energetic release. I use portals, so I don't cut cords or do banishments or dissolving. I really into it with a deep, deep compassion, understanding that even these parasites have a level of consciousness and feed off of fear and anger and violence, right? So you can't come at them like, I want to cast you out and blah, blah, blah. Like by bringing in unconditional love and deep, deep compassion, we can release these things, and people have found shifts. And then it's worth the support, because like you said, that ascension path is not a straight path, right?
It kind of
supporting through that. And then a 2-hour follow-up, which is really the integration part. We've released stuff. You've had 2 weeks to see how your reality was built on your past beliefs. How do we bring in new beliefs and even call in different parts of your soul team, different parts of alternative realities, where we're bringing in essences of who you truly are, so that you can move into the life that you ultimately desire and potentially came here to experience.
So real quick, do you have just one really dramatic example that you can give the audience of someone who came to you with a certain condition and what happened afterwards?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's so many, it's hard to pick one, but the most powerful one, I think, is because there's people that come and say like, well, I want to make sales, but they don't realize they can't make sales because they lost their voice when they were molested earlier in their life, right? So there's those kind of scenarios where they come for business, but they find out it's actually something deeply personal.
Right.
And one of the highest results I've gotten is a woman who came to me. She was in pain and she couldn't walk. She'd been in a wheelchair for 2.5 years and the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. She just had a thyroid surgery. And so she was really coming to me to deal with the thyroid. But as we dove into her 12 years of daily ritualistic abuse and was able to transmute the energy off of that, 2 weeks later, she walked into her doctor's office on her own 2 feet.
Wow.
I do not work on the physical body. I'm not a doctor, so I can't treat, diagnose, or cure anything. But what I can do is do the energy stuff. And then the results of that, the side effects of that, are that the physical body starts to heal. Fibromyalgia disappears, depression disappears, even eczema and body weight, like massive amounts of body weight in short periods of time, just because people have cured the thing that was keeping them needing to be protected, or that lack of wanting to be seen, right? It's so amazing how on a metaphysical level, it actually does affect the physical reality.
Yeah. Cool. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I wish we had another hour to talk. Real quick, if people want to get in touch with you, learn more about your work, work with you, how do they get in touch with you? How do they find you?
Yeah, they can find me as Occam Wood pretty much everywhere. I'm the only one out there, so it's not hard to find me. I really like LinkedIn these days because I'm working with these professionals. I really like working with the heart-centered change makers, so helping people help people, right? And they can find me at occamwood.com. That website will be up within the next 2 days. And I offer a free clarity call to anybody who's curious about this and wants to understand how their past may be affecting their future. And that's the best way to really learn more about it. And I also have a YouTube channel, Razor's Edge Energetics. That's the name of the business, actually, is Razor's Edge Energetics, a little play on Occam's razor. Yeah. But you can find me as Occam Wood pretty much everywhere.
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. Occam, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know it took a little while to get this set up, but, you know, I'm a popular guy.
But
I'm glad we finally made this happen. Thank you for taking the time to come on the show today. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in as you do every week. And don't forget, if you missed any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc and on all the major podcasting platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio. Thank you all for tuning in next week. We've got a great, great guest in store for you next week. And I'm going to tell you, so you have to make sure. Go to talkradio.nyc, sign up for a newsletter if you want to know ahead of time, and show up because next week's guest is equally fascinating as Occam. So everyone, please stay tuned. Don't forget, coming up next is Dr. Richard Lewis Miller with his show, The Mind Body Health Money. Body, Mind, Health, and Politics show. And later today, Frank Harrison and his show, Frank About Health. Take care, everyone. We will talk to you all next week.
Uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health. And each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business, or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.